Amen. Good morning to you. Today's sermon is brought to you by Sheets Sumatra Coffee. I didn't get to finish this morning, so I just brought it up here. You know, sometimes God teaches us valuable lessons, doesn't he? I was actually invited to speak at a local gathering one time. There were lots of other churches invited, but they asked me to speak. You know, I thought, you know, that was kind of cool that I was the one that was asked to speak. So I went and I did the best that I could do. And after it was over, someone in the organization came up and offered me an envelope with some money in it as a stipend or a honorarium for speaking. And I very humbly said, you know, no, I don't want that. Why don't you just take that and give it to a mission or somewhere else that it could be used well. And the person said, well, they could do that. Actually, they said they were starting a brand new fund just that day. And I said, oh, you know, then by all means, put it in there. And then just curious, I said, you know, what is this new fund? And he said, well, someone suggested that we start a new fund so that next year we can get a better speaker. You know, sometimes God will teach us valuable lessons, right? And I hope that today is one of those days that God teaches us something that's very, very valuable. If you remember, last week we started this Up from the Ashes, how the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not an event that happened, you know, in a vacuum without the surrounding things of Jesus' life bringing energy to that moment. And last week we started that, and today we're going to look at this again. Philippians chapter 3 is such a beautiful passage of Scripture. Look at it here. It says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. We want that resurrection power, but there's so many examples from Jesus' life, from His suffering, that we can learn that will empower us for that moment that is ahead. Did you ever hear the story how many years ago in an American battle, a rider on a horse came upon a few soldiers trying to remove a heavy log of wood from the path that they were traveling, but they were doing so without much success. And the rider noticed one man just standing off to the side, really not helping in any way. And he asked, and the rider asked the man, said, why don't you help? And the man said, well, I'm the corporal. I give orders. The rider, it said, he dismounted from his horse. He went over, and without the help of the corporal, he lended his hand to what the men were doing. And still, while very hard, they accomplished the task of removing this large log from their path. Later, the man realized that the man that stopped to help was General George Washington. You see, sometimes we need to understand that God has called us not to be powerful, but to be servants. You know, this is a story about an example of humility. But when you think about an example of humility, who's the greatest example? The greatest example, of course, is Jesus. Jesus is our example of humility. While a king, he was a servant. While a master, he was a slave. And while the creator of the universe, he was also the savior of the world. You see, while George Washington set a great example, the reality is that we have a greater example, and that is of course Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me draw you to the Word this morning. In Philippians, in chapter 2, we read there this awesome passage of Scripture that says this. Paul says this, talking about his service while an apostle to Jesus Christ. and the way that a servant should think about his place in the kingdom. He says, do nothing of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Anybody ever kept that commandment fully? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, what? Value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with another, have the mindset of Jesus. Now think about this, folks. I really want you to get this. I've said to you 1,000 times from this pulpit that we need to have the heart of Christ, right? That we need to have the heart of Jesus. But here Paul says, he doesn't say have the heart of Jesus. He says have the mind of Jesus. What's the difference between the mind and the heart? The heart in our dialect today is so much about the emotions. The heart can convince us of something that's not even true, right? Our emotions can convince us of something's not even true. But if you, in your mind, if you know, if you understand, if it's knowledge, it is true. And he says here to have the mind of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus knew very well why he came and what was before him. So his encouragement for all of us here is to be believers like Jesus, to have our attitudes like him. Our actions should mirror his. On the one hand, you could say, yeah, that's easier said than done. You know, you're talking about the very Son of God. But on the other hand, Paul goes on to list here for us the attitudes and the actions of our model. Okay, look, he continues in this same passage of Scripture when he says, being in the very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Think about these specifics here that Paul mentions. You know, he says things like, you know, don't take advantage of your position. I mean, look at it. He says that he was in the very nature God, but he set aside equality with God to become a man. Now listen, folks, I can't fully understand that, how Jesus could remain fully divine, fully God, but yet fully human. But it's obvious that he laid something aside when he left heaven for earth, when he left eternity to come into our space and our time. And Jesus here is our example of that. I mean, have you ever dropped a name because you knew the name would help you? You know, have you ever mentioned who you are so other people will look at you differently? Jesus Christ never did that. Jesus Christ always was so willing to be humbled as a servant. He never threw out his credentials. He never talked about what he deserved. It was always about loving and caring for and forgiveness and mercy given to other people. I remember one time Arlene and I were driving through Roaring Spring. I'll never forget it. We were in my little black Ford pickup truck, and my headlight had been out for a number of weeks, probably even months. And Arlene had told me time and time again, I need to get that fixed. I need to get it checked. And I, yeah, and I didn't do it. Finally, we were going through Roaring Spring one evening after visiting some friends. And all of a sudden, the light was flashing behind me, and they pulled me over, and the officer came up to the window, and he said about the headlight, and said, yeah, you know, she's been telling me to get that fixed, and I just haven't gotten around to it yet. And he took my license, and he was going to write me a ticket, and he went back to his car. And then he came back, because it was very dark at night, and then he came back and he had my license, and he said, is that you, Pastor John? I said, yeah, Roger, that's me. I'm so glad he recognized who I was. And the next thing you know, he said, you know, get that light fixed and please be careful. And he gave me my license back and we were on our way. And as I was pulling out, Arlene said to me, you make me sick. I mean, have you ever gotten an advantage because of somebody you knew? You know, it just feels a little bit wrong that, you know, the next guy or the guy before you probably got a ticket. And I certainly deserved a ticket. But you see, folks, Jesus Christ is our example. He never took advantage of his position. Last week, we talked about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, and he could have usurped every authority that the devil threw before him. He could have turned those stones into bread, but he didn't. Look at something else he says here, because in our example, he also talks about service to others. That Jesus Christ laid aside his royal position and he chose instead to become a servant. And throughout his entire earthly ministry, Jesus gave himself to the needs of other people. He meets a woman at the well and he offers her water that if she drinks from it, she would never thirst again. He offers a crippled man to take up his bed and walk, which he had never been able to do. Jesus Christ was always about, you know, the woman caught in adultery. He said, you that are without sin, you throw the first stone. And one by one, they laid down their stones and walked away. And Jesus said to her, where are your accusers? Go and sin no more. Jesus is always our example. And there's never a greater example than when he serves others. And then finally, I think Paul seems to say in this passage that Jesus teaches us to give our life away. Jesus' humility led him ultimately to the cross. Now, certainly this is a familiar story to us. But what about our story? What are you holding on to tightly today that Jesus is your example of and how to give it up and to lay it down? You see, folks, listen, never forget this. Humility isn't such a destination to be reached as it is an attitude to be embraced. Someone said once that you're never so empty than when you're full of yourself. So what Jesus gives us here is he tells us and he shows us this beautiful example how his life could have been so different, but this is the life that he chose, a life of humility, and how important this attitude is and this posture of living this kind of life. You know, I guess that humility is a big deal. Now, so often today, when we think of humility, we think of weakness. We think of meekness. We think of smaller. We think of things that are not courageous and overcoming and victorious. But the life that Jesus lived, the example that he set for us, it's not so much about an attitude that we embrace. It's not so much about a destination to be reached. It's about a way of thinking. It's about an attitude to have. It's about taking the mind of Jesus and looking at the world around us the same way that he looked at the world. So, folks, here's what I want to do with us today for just a few more minutes. If you think about the Apostle Peter speaks about humility as well in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 6. And look at what he says. He said, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Now, isn't it interesting here that the fellow that says this was the very one that Jesus had the most problem with when it came with humility? You know, Peter was the one that said, "Oh, well, don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body." Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter was the one that said, "Oh, Jesus, I'll never die. I'll never deny you. I'll die for you." But yet three times he denied that he knew Jesus Christ. He was the very one that had the most problem, but he learned the greatest of lessons, didn't he? And he understood the value of a humble life, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Let me show you this passage, Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 34. Oh my goodness, when I found this, it was like, Jesus, you know, God, you are speaking right to my heart this morning, because in Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 34, it says this, it says, though the Lord is on high, what? He looks lowly upon the humble. But the proud, he knows from afar. The proud, he knows from afar. The NLT gives a little bit further clarity to that when he says that though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps the distance, his distance from the proud. You see, pride will keep you away from God, while humility will never get you closer to Christ. That's the message here of this. And you know, here's the thing. God's opposition is one thing. It's horrible. But the idea in Psalm 138 is that God distances himself from the prideful. And that should be terrifying to us. Have you ever had a great distance from somebody that you loved? You know, our daughter, Kristen, her husband, Nathan, they spent 4 years, actually longer than that, over in Europe. And the distance just was so difficult. I know, you could talk, you could call, you could FaceTime, you could do all those things, but the distance was so great. You know, I've talked to people recently who have lost loved ones or friends, and because of COVID, they hadn't seen them. And the distance was so difficult. And here's the thing, folks. Sometimes we're far away from God because we're not humble, but proud. And a lot of times that pride doesn't even allow us to see how far away from God we are. So today we should ask God, we should pray for a great humility. See, here's the example. You talk about Jesus being the example. John chapter 13. John chapter 13 is, of course, the greatest example of humility that's recorded in the Bible. It's the passage where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And at the end of verse 1, John records Jesus showing them the full extent of his love. When he records Jesus saying, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I will tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." So the creator of the universe, the savior of mankind, the word that brought everything into being, got down on his knees and did the very thing that nobody else even noticed needed to be done. Jesus' feet should have been washed when he came into that home. But everybody was so concerned about their place, their statue, their place of being at the right or the left hand of Jesus, that nobody noticed the thing that needed to be done the most, the sacrifice and service and love to other people. Jesus wanted the disciples to know how much he loved them. So he took this position of a simple house servant and he washed their dirty feet clean. And he did this for a very specific reason. Because nobody is too important to get down and to serve another. He did this to show that he loved them and that he cared for his disciples. His example that we see here in John 13 is recorded for all of us today. So it begs the question, what do you need to do to humble yourself and to serve other people today or this week? What do you need to do to serve and to care about other people? I love Proverbs 29 verse 1. It says, whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Wow. And sometimes that's exactly what happens to all of us. We become taken apart by our very, very own pride. So today, let's learn from Jesus. And let's think about when the Bible says that God exalted him, gave him a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, that at the feet of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That before all of that happened, Jesus humbled himself as a servant to the very ones that should have been serving him. So I ask you today, how will this example of Jesus impact you this week? I would encourage you to humble yourself and to serve someone that you love and someone that's a stranger. You see, because God doesn't just call us to be this kind of person with the folks that are closest to us. He calls us to be this with everyone. So humble yourself and serve someone that you love and someone that is a stranger. And if you can do it anonymously, wonderful. But do someone that you love and someone that you that is a stranger to you. You know, as the pastor of such a great group of people, I get a front row seat to this all the time. You know, someone recently contacted our office and they said, you know what, we got our stimulus check and, you know, we don't need it. Could you find someone that's in need in the church and we would like to give our stimulus check to them anonymously? And we did that. You know, I had someone else call me recently and said, Pastor John, you know, I have some funds that came to me and I've been so blessed and I want to do something wonderful in the ministry of First Church. And they gave anonymously several thousand dollars to be used in the ministry. You know, we see this over and over and over again. And you know what? Life is never richer than when we join in and live a life of humility in love and service to others. You are never more like Jesus than when you humble yourself and serve the needs of other people. So may we do it this week with a thankful heart and with a keen spirit, knowing that it is guided not by our heart, by our emotion, but by our minds and what we know that Jesus did willingly in his his life. May that be a description of you and me. Let's pray. Father, may we all answer and ask and answer these questions this week. You know, where do we need to serve? Father, some of us here today need to confess our pride to you and how our pride is limiting our reach in the kingdom. God, convince us of that beautiful passage that says, whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. And Lord, so many times pride has a way of destroying our very lives. God, how will the example of Christ impact our daily routine? Starting right now, God, help us to make a commitment to that kind of change. Because Lord, we don't want to be different than you want us to be. We don't want to be far away from you. We don't want to be incompatible with the righteousness of Christ. But God, we want to be all that you intend for our lives. So Lord, may we learn today from these beautiful words of your scripture. May we learn from the story of Jesus when he washed his disciples' feet. And I pray, Lord, that it would be indicative of who we are today as we deal with each other, our families, whom we know, and also, Lord, as we encounter even strangers along the way, along our journey of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.